us again today, Oz Guinness. We're going to talk about his brand new book, The Great Quest. It's an invitation to an examined life and a sure path to meaning. Oz, welcome back.
Thank you, Carmen. What a privilege to be with you again.
It is such a delight. All right, so let's set this up this way. People are asking big questions, and there's really only a few really big questions that people ask. Maybe more people are asking those questions today because they've experienced some sort of shattering sense of predictability or control based on the pandemic or the unprovoked war in Eastern Europe, or I mean, many Americans just triggered by the anticipated ruling, you know, by the U.S. Supreme Court on the topic of abortion. Like, big questions come. People arrive at these big questions at different points along life's journey. Tell us what you're doing in The Great Quest in terms of helping us find a way into and through that conversation.
Well, it's a book written for seekers to show how thinking people can think through the journey of their faith towards meaning, and setting it out as something that they have to do for themselves, but deeply rational and thoroughly responsible. But as you say, we're in an extraordinary time when big questions are raised all around us. Now, in other books, I've addressed that, but here we are in a huge crisis in the U.S., a huge crisis in the West, and people need to know, where do they put their trust? And there's no better place to put their trust than in the Lord.
Right. And so you and I, it would thrill our hearts if, if everyone would think about what they're thinking about and then think about why and how they're thinking about what they're thinking about. But Oz, I'm just aware that there's a lot of unthinking people, including Christians.
To put it mildly. No, you're right. And you see, sadly, the rising tide of the so-called nuns. In other words, people just drifting away who are nominal Christians. And this is all rather tragic because if people need meaning and trust in what's life about and how to make the most of it, it's today. And you can see, say, particularly with the younger generation, the effects of loneliness and COVID and the rise of suicides, the crisis of meaning is very, very profound. And of course, at the political level, we're seeing a grand clash between not just secularism and the Christian faith, but radical forms of left-wing secularism. So the issue of faith today is absolutely central, but a lot of people aren't thinking about it.
Yeah, one of the things I appreciate that you sift and sort through, even when you just refer to secularism or a secular mindset, you help us distinguish that from people who may have a derivative of an Eastern worldview, even if they don't know, because they haven't thought about it, they don't know that's the worldview that they have, but they think of everything as impersonal, versus having a secular worldview or approach that just thinks that everything's by chance. And then there's this distinction among those of us who practice an Abrahamic faith that, you know, it is personal. In fact, it's all personal, and I take it personally. So yeah. Those are some of the things that as you engage in The Great Quest, you're going to discover. Oz Guinness is the author. And yes, for those of you wondering, we do have a handful of books to give away today. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. Oz, talk with me about the role of truth in all of this. I feel like we are at a point in time when deception is really, really high and heightened, and people are having a very difficult time sorting through what is and isn't true. The truth matters. Seeking the truth matters. Speaking the truth matters. Talk with us about the role of truth in our quest.
Well, America and much of the West is experiencing a deep crisis of truth, coming from thinkers like Nietzsche, and from the philosophy of postmodernism. In other words, Nietzsche says God is dead and truth is dead. Now, if that's so, all that's left is power. And that's the problem you see on the radical left, setting up conflicts of power. And you can see at point after point, the crisis of truth is a crisis of freedom. You remember our Lord, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So there's enormous confusion over truth today. But let's remember, since humans can't live long without truth. You take grand enterprises like science. Without truth, they collapse. Or journalism without truth, only fake news. Business without truth, is in trouble. But above all, families and relationships. Because underlying everything is, how do you trust people, take them at their word? It all depends on truth. So we can be sure truth will never go out of fashion for long. But the deepest, most solid view of truth is the biblical view. And so once again, you've got good news in the gospel, which you don't have in our wider culture.
So there's like a pre-apologetics thing going on here. Getting to the place where I, as a Christian, recognize that I make a lot of assumptions because of what's on my mind and the way my mind is set, and that other people who are genuinely seeking, they are genuinely now asking questions, but I might not be in a very good position to walk with them right now because I'm at such a different place in this great quest than they are. So talk with us about the stages of the great quest. And then when we come back from a very brief break, we'll walk through them. What are the four stages, Oz?
Well, my hope, Carmen, is that this is not just for seekers to see how they can think it through, but this is also for believers to remember how they have thought it through and to be aware of when they're talking to others, where are they in the journey so they can speak relevantly. But I outline what are the four main phases. Number one, a time for questions, which is what constitutes a real seeker. Number two, a time for answers. You look at the comparatively very different answers to see which one is the most adequate and the most illuminating. Stage three, a time for evidences. Not just does an answer throw light on the situation, but is it true, what you were raising earlier? And then stage four, time for commitments. The whole person, not just the mind, the whole person must be committed. And I've described each of those, of course, in much greater detail.
We're talking with Oz Guinness. We're talking about his latest book, The Great Quest, Invitation to an Examined Life and a Sure Path to Meaning. If you'd like to enter the drawing for the handful of copies we have to give away today, text the word book to 877-933-2484. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. We'll be right back. Continuing our conversation now with Oz Guinness about his book, The Great Quest. It's an invitation to an examined life and a sure path to meaning. Oz, I'd love to dig around. I'd love to dig around in all of the phases, a time for questions, a time for answers, a time for evidence, and a time for commitments. But I think let's dwell for a moment on a time for commitments. This idea that I am going to stake my very existence and everything about me and my life and my future hope fundamentally on what I believe. Talk with us about the commitment level of all of this.
Now, of course, that fourth stage depends on the other three being successful. In other words, someone has questions. They're really convinced that one answer, the gospel, is the best answer they've come across. And then they've checked out and they're convinced, too, that it's true. But that isn't enough. In other words, it's not just the mind. We're whole people. We have minds and we have emotions and we have wills. And that fourth stage is the whole person. It's not a leap of faith. No, there are solid reasons to believe. And it's certainly not a leap in the dark, but it is a whole person. So it's more than rational, but only because we are. We're emotional and so on, too. And I use the picture. I love it. I heard from a Kenyan. You know, a Westerner was describing faith to a Kikuyu warrior, and he used a word, the Kenyan said, that's the wrong word. That's like the word assent, purely intellectual and arm's length. Our word is the same word we used of a lion's leap, a great leap on its quarry and all four legs enfolding whatever it is. That's the word for faith, and I love that. So the fourth stage is a whole person. Now, of course, Carmen, as you know, that's often the stage when we make that commitment, all of us. But we then discover we've been looking for the Lord. He's been looking for us. So it's not just us looking for him. We've been found by him. And the supernatural comes in like a flood.
Okay, so the supernatural. This, I think this gets to your conversation. You know, there's reason, there's conscience, but then there's this living sense of wonder. Can you wander around with us on why we need a living sense of wonder?
Well, you know, anyone who lives with a bit of nature, rather than everything being technological and delivered to us in our cities and so on, you realize that nature has an incredible sense of wonder. From the sun rises and the sun sets to a small, humble dandelion. So you have someone like G.K. Chesterton, who was flirting with pessimism and nihilism when he was a student. But he says, I was stopped in my tracks by a dandelion. How could there be so much ruin, brokenness in the world? Take the horrors of Ukraine at the moment. And then you take the beauty of a little flower or a Mozart sonata or the birth of a baby. There's wonder in this world. How do you put together the brokenness and the wonder? So wonder is actually the beginning of someone really searching, and philosophers say it's the beginning of philosophy. We need to have sense that something much bigger than us is behind it all.
So yesterday, I had the privilege of spending a little time with one of my granddaughters, and she is amazed at all of these very tiny little wild strawberries that are hidden in my yard, you know, beneath where the blades of the mower will get them. And she wanted to collect a whole bag of them to deliver to the chipmunks that live near her house. And as we were, you know, romping around doing that, you know, she's so much closer to the ground than I am. Her, what she saw was a little bit different than my perspective. And then at one point she saw a deer stand in the woods, and she said, let's go up there because we can see more things from up there than we can see from down here, right? I think that aligning with children maybe it would help us to recultivate or rediscover a sense of wonder in the world today.
No, absolutely. But you've also highlighted children. They have questions. Why this? Why that? Why the other? And the sad fact is, as we grow older as adults, that questioning stops. And so the seeking begins with a time for questions. And the tragedy is more modern people don't raise questions. You know, this is what Socrates called the unexamined life. And he said it's not worth living. But if he's true, most people in the modern world are living lives not worth living. So it's questioning and wonders that makes people really think. And then, of course, when a crisis strikes in and life is thrown into a question mark, then people really search. But I wish more people were even at stage one, which is that time for questions. And I have quite a discussion on why people aren't thinking today.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about something that I know that you're working on, Signals of Transcendence, where you're going to share with us some of the experience of people that, like, what triggered the asking of the questions, like what triggers the beginning of this process. And I'm looking forward to that. I'm wondering, Oz, if when you think about Christians in the conversations of the day, are we often answering questions that people aren't asking, and certainly failing to allow them to discover the answers to the questions they are asking?
No, that's a very good point. I think we've got to learn, though, that, you know, as I was saying earlier, life is a journey. So the question is, where is the person we're talking to at this moment? So people aren't all the same. Someone may say, I'm an atheist, but all atheists are different because of their life background and so on. So we have to love by listening, and then through listening and asking questions, discover where they are in their journey, and then address the gospel to them exactly where they are. And a lot of people don't do that. They've just got a formula and they trot it out and give the same answers to everybody. And that's a disaster. It's like water off a duck's back.
I'm thinking here, you know, images of pilgrimage. You're discussing it as the great quest. Ultimately, I think what you're inviting people into is an encounter with the Lord for themselves. So
absolutely.
Yeah, that's what it feels like to me. Talk about that in your own life. What are maybe some of the influences on your road to faith?
Well, I grew up in a missionary background, although my parents and I were under house arrest in China, and then the communists allowed them to send me home. So I went home at just under 10, and all my teenage years, I was basically without my parents. in England at schools and so on. So my own journey to faith was a real search. I knew enough about Buddhism and Hinduism, Eastern religions, having grown up there, not to be attracted deeply by them. And for me, it was a debate between, on the one hand, the great atheists like Nietzsche and Sartre and Camus, and on the other hand, great Christian thinkers like Pascal and Chesterton, and of course, C.S. Lewis. So I became convinced it was true. But my conversion was when I met the Lord. And then my growth in the Lord is when I realized that thinking Christianly, you could think about anything and everything under the Lordship of Jesus in a wonderfully free way and have a deep answer to the whole of life. And so it's something that's excited me profoundly ever since. And that's now more than 50 years ago. But here we are. Too many Christians are on the back foot. You know, they're defensive, the culture against us and all this. No, the gospel is good news. It's the best news ever. And at a moment when the alternatives are genuinely seen to be bankrupt, we should be on the front foot addressing the big issues, because we have in the scriptures and in the gospel of Jesus itself, we have the answers. So I'm trying to set it out in a way that people can just think through for themselves quietly. It's not an argument. Read this book and then you're convinced. No, it's a description of the journey that people have to take for themselves.
If Socrates was right that the unexamined life is not worth living, then we certainly want to be people who are examining life. That's what Ozginus is inviting us to do. The book is The Great Quest, an invitation to an examined life and a sure path to meaning.